The gospel reading today is from the 11th chapter of John. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus.
Lord, he whom you love is ill.
But when Jesus heard it, he said,
"This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing, having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?"
"Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him."
The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about Lazarus's death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep.
"Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home.
"Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him."
"Your brother will rise again."
"I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day."
"I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet.
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved.
"Where have you laid him?"
"Lord, come and see."
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it.
"Take away the stone."
"My Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days."
"Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said,
"Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. Lazarus, come out."
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth.
Unbind him and let him go.
Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. We've reached a turning point in John's gospel. This will be the last miracle or sign, as John puts it, to be performed by Jesus. It will be the event that triggers the plot to kill him and ultimately to kill Lazarus. And in the next chapter, he will ride into Jerusalem to face all of what he has predicted will occur to him there, leaving his disciples in grief and questioning the meaning of all that had occurred. We've also reached a turning point in our Lenten journey to this point. In the past weeks, we've heard Jesus invite his first disciples to come and see what he has to say. We've then heard his disciples echo that call to others who would become disciples. The Samaritan woman at the well beseeched others in her town to come and see the person who knew everything about her life. And a blind man came to see for the first time in his life as the glory of God was revealed. But this moment, a time of illness and death of a close friend, is perhaps more revealing than all the others about who God is. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are beloved friends of Jesus. Though John tells us that Jesus knew that Lazarus would die, Jesus does not go to them immediately. Bowing to the will of God for 2 days, which must have been excruciating. He must have known the people he loved, Lazarus in illness and Mary and Martha in concern, then grief, would suffer greatly. When he does go to them, Martha, then Mary, essentially ask him the same question. Why did you not come earlier when you could have saved him? Some among those who have come to console the sisters echo the question in the crowd. It is a mix of grief and, yes, anger. In the midst of the weeping of his friends and those around them, Jesus himself gives in to his profound grief. Though far from them at the time, it must have been difficult for him to wait as he thought of his friends in pain. But when faced with it firsthand, he could not bear it. All of us can recognize the emotions we witness in this passage. Whether from the perspective of one suffering illness or one whose loved one is suffering or dies, this passage speaks to us. Illness and death are times of grief, loss, anger, loneliness, and questioning, but also of gratitude and love. Like Mary and Martha, we call upon God in our time of distress, but we then have to wait, and we wonder why we have to wait. The worst happens, and we become angry, perhaps. Maybe we feel abandoned. For what purpose has this happened? But this passage from John dispels any thought that God doesn't care for us in such times. Through Jesus, we know that God understands our despair, deeply feels our grief, and knows we may be angry and have questions. This story does not answer all of those questions, but we draw from it the depth of God's ability to understand us. In the midst of all of their grief, anger, and pain, Martha and Mary still call Jesus Lord. Mary kneels at his feet. Martha says she knows that God would give Jesus whatever he wanted, an expression of faith. Jesus tells Martha that her brother will rise again, but Martha hears him saying only that Lazarus will rise on the last day. Jesus responds with the message of hope she needs. I am the resurrection and the life, those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. To this, Martha confesses her belief in Jesus as the Savior, although they could not understand why Jesus hadn't come to them earlier and kept death from their doorstep. They knew him to be the Son of God. And so when Jesus asked where to find the tomb, Mary and Martha told him, and everyone else in the crowd, come and see. Just as Jesus had told the first disciples to come and see, just as the first disciples had told others to come and see, just as the woman at the well had implored those in her town to come and see, Mary and Martha, faithful in the midst of distress, led the crowd to the place where many would come to believe in Christ. This passage could not have been a more clear preview of the resurrection of Christ to come. It will come only after an agonizing time of betrayal, pain, and death. It will leave Jesus' disciples grieving, possibly angry, certainly fearful. Surely they had questions, but they were left with each other. No doubt they remembered that Jesus said he was the resurrection and the life, and drew upon the faith by which Mary and Martha had trusted Jesus. And over time, living by the example of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit, they began to build the body of Christ in this world, a community of love and support. This community is the legacy with which we as God's church are left. The Reverend Vern Farnham tells a story of a 90-year-old resident in a retirement community whose doctors discovered a spot on his lung and diagnosed him with cancer. Neither chemotherapy nor radiation was an option. During weekly Bible studies, the man began to share his grief with others at the community, leading some of the others in the group to reveal similar conditions. During the months leading up to their deaths, the group did everything they could to continue meeting and sharing meals together. As one of them began to decline, he told his friends, "Thank you for giving me the courage to walk toward my cross. I realized that if Jesus could do it, I could do it." Supporting those in pain is not always easy. Commission ruling elder Deb Bergman shares her story about losing her partner of 22 years. She describes her feelings as drowning to the degree that her world was so shattered and dark that she simply couldn't name what she needed from others. What she needed, she says, was someone else to figure out what she needed because she simply was unable. Questions of what can I do were met with only one answer: nothing. All of this led her to offer concrete ways for us to help others who are mired in grief. Instead of asking, "What can I do?" we might ask, "Can I come sit with you? Would you like to have coffee? Let me pick you up for church." Ultimately, Elder Bergman's story is one of how a community can better understand and support those in distress. It is a story told by one in the midst of profound loss. It echoes the story of Martha and Mary, who held to faith in the worst of times and led others who had seen resurrection to believe in the one who resurrects. As our Lenten journey nears its end and the cross comes into view, we remember how God and Jesus bore the pain of being human and understands our mixed up feelings in times of grief. But Jesus also called us into community, empowered by the Spirit, inspired by his example, to support those among us who grieve. And so it is for us to live our lives in Christ, sharing each other's grief, and knowing that because God so loves the world, nothing in life or in death will separate us from God's love. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, be with us in joy and in grief. Help us to understand what it means to hear your call. Help us to be there for each other. Just as you are present in our lives, we pray that we are present for others in their grief. In your holy name we pray. Amen.